Infowars.com is tomorrow's news today.
What's another powerful morning here on the American Journal? Rex Jones, Tim Tompkins. We're powering through our day as we hope you're powering through yours. Whether you're getting a cup of coffee, walking the dog, going to the gym, or going to work, we're honored that you choose to spend this time here with us. We're going to continue the deep dive now. Your thoughts?
Yeah, so a lot of the things that I was talking about earlier on the segment had to do about the physical infrastructure, the costs that are coming in terms of a monetary standpoint. But then we got to look at the physical aspects and what it's having impact on people's physical health.
Right. Okay. Right.
There are Americans that are already living. You may be one of these people that are living near a data center. I'd actually be curious to DM me on X and tell me if you live near a data center.
Take calls next year.
Honestly, that is a good idea. If you live near a data center at the bottom of the last hour, we would like to hear from you. Okay. If you are a caller, if you're listening, we would love to hear from somebody who lives near a data center and tell us about what's going on.
We definitely have people that are in more rural areas that are around maybe those sneaky ones being built. So if you're in an area like Louisiana, if you're in an area like the South and they're building one, not a lot of people are talking about it. We do want to hear from you. Go ahead.
Excellent point there. Okay, so we're going to look at this one lady who talks about the data center noises. And for people living near these facilities, the issue is more direct. And so, yeah, it's like a wong, wong, wong.
Sometimes, that's nice.
Depending on like the time of year, sometimes the frequency changes. And these people can, they're like a few hundred yards away and they can hear all the sound that's coming out of this. So let's go ahead and roll this video of somebody who has been dealing with these data centers popping up in her neighborhood.
Donna Gallant has lived on this street in Prince William County, Northern Virginia, for the last 30 years. All very peaceful until 2021, when things started to change. These are Google data centers, and ever since they started rising from the ground, Donna has been looking for answers.
There's no transparency. And
with the data center companies or with local authorities? Or
both.
Yeah.
So anytime you ask a question, it's, oh, we signed an NDA, we can't talk about it. Oh, we're under NDA, we can't talk about it. So there's no transparency at all.
The site isn't complete yet, but she says the noise is already taking its toll.
When I go to my room at night, the tonal noise immediately triggered my anxiety to the point where I couldn't sleep. I ended up having to go down on my first floor and put noise-canceling headphones on just so I could sleep.
What do you think about that, Rex?
It sounds like a complainer to me. Sounds like that woman's complaining.
You are ungrateful.
You got to be grateful for the data center, right? Don't you know the new golden age is being ushered in right now? Why your baby can't sleep? Why does that matter?
Yeah, why does that matter, Rex? Well, it matters because if you just look at it, when you go to buy your house and you try to get the American dream, they didn't say in the fine print that you'd have a data center that doesn't allow you to enjoy that American dream.
Life, liberty, happiness, and the pursuit of a data center. That's the new rewriting of the Constitution.
That's the new writing of the Constitution. That's a very good point there. And so, I mean, look, you know, it's not just like a tiny sound. It's a constant sound. And it's people are getting the lofts of sleep and the neighborhood starts changing around you. And I mean, a lot of people have seen development, but like the normal development. Not like this. You would expect, oh, there's new houses around and it's causing. This is a very big issue for these people.
Sure. Well, think about it. So they're going to build 2,000 square foot houses. They're going to build 100 of them. Let's call that like a housing development or whatnot. That's 200,000 square feet. We look at the data center, some of them are more than a million.
Yep.
Square feet. So just look at that project as an example. And that ain't residential homes being built.
And what you're seeing is, okay, so you know how sometimes you might have like your house in a cul-de-sac and there'll be some surrounding neighborhoods?
Sure.
And then often behind your backyard, there's like a ton of just like forest and land.
Yeah. More of that.
Well, often what happens is that land is zoned and it's zoned for more residential building. So that they
people
can build
want, people
more.
People want to live on Earth.
Yeah, so they
people
can,
want to live,
so
live
they can
on
build
the
more houses, right? Yeah. And so you'll see these giant plots of land that used to be residential, and they're converting those into commercial plots of land for people to build data centers now. And that's being done at the city level.
Wow.
And that's easy when you have the lobbying and you have the money and you can incentivize the city and say, this will be good for you.
You know what I'm thinking about here? This is all kind of like a retreat to the suburbs, really, Tim, because you look at the collapse of commercial real estate inside of these cities, right? We have these empty office buildings that no one wants to be in, and these people are over leveraged. A lot of foreign people own these buildings.
Yeah.
They go into bankruptcy, whatnot. But you look at someone like Elon and how he's really treated Austin. Sure, he's already got the Tesla factory way out there, but now away from the city, over in that area that's still close enough to be connected to the infrastructure, the power lines, and all of it. That's where they're choosing to strategically build these things, much like that Wyoming town that we saw.
Excellent point. And then the Northern Virginia is getting the worst of this. Like we said, they have the highest density on that map. And so you just see Prince William County already has more than 70 data centers. And in some places, land that has been planned for that housing is being rezoned. And then it's just more projects keep getting proposed and more buildings keep getting pushed closer to homes. And so that cloud infrastructure is not what people want to hear.
The cloud. There is no cloud. It's just somebody else's computer.
The cloud.
Hate to spoil it for you.
It's this mystical, magical thing. But then you also get hit with all of the economic things that happen. So it's not just that people are that it's not just showing up. There are water and environmental things that these AI data centers are doing besides the sound. And so it's showing up in the physical water, not just the water bill.
That's right.
So let's go ahead and play this clip of the impact to the water supply. This lady has to deal with this. Go ahead and roll that clip.
This is my cold water pressure in the kitchen. This is where I fill up water for storage. Those are the things we have to fill up to flush the toilets.
So you can see the sediment from the data center. Wow, and that's just from the water coming out of your faucet.
Yeah, and this is what's in all the pipes.
Just the well itself is probably 20,000, and that's not counting any of the
all the replacement of the fixtures and faucets and toilets and the lines that come underneath the house.
Wow.
It's overwhelming because you really feel like you are up against this huge wall that you can't penetrate. There's nothing that you can do, and they don't care.
That hit me.
Yeah, me too. Doesn't sound like we have much of a voice, you know? Doesn't seem like they have much of a decision. Yeah, you don't have any water pressure. You got sediment in your water. Just suck it up and deal with it. You know, Tim, have you ever lived in a place where you can't drink the water?
Never.
All right, so I spent a little over a year out in East Texas living in a house with non-potable water. And let me tell you, when you're living off of using like a water bottle or like a gallon jug to like shower or brush your teeth or do any of these things, it's not a fun way to live, okay? And it's a lifestyle, unfortunately, that a lot of these people are having to adopt. You look at the infrastructure, instead of putting in water resources for these people that live out in the boonies or whatever, like I have, not dissing anybody, instead they're going to funnel all the resources to these massive companies, and then you get screwed even worse.
Well, and not just that, they're not providing any like subsidies for you to buy all that bottled water.
Right.
First of all, it's going to be cheaper for you to run a faucet or drink out of tap than it ever will be to buy these giant gallon of jugs just to wash yourself with. That's the equation that's not adding up here. They want to punish you, not give you potable water, have these data centers. You're going to start having Flint, Michigans all over the United States.
Well, it's just
going to
be the U.S.
Like.
It's just going to be the U.S. And
right.
That's a new standard, and don't complain about it.
Yeah, don't complain about it. But then again, no one's providing you like a monthly stipend to be able to drink water or, you know, be able to bathe yourself in,
right,
which are just bare minimum essentials that we demand here in America, that it's not too much to ask for. But then no, Rex, we're going to ask for $200 billion.
That's right.
We're going to ask for $200 billion, right, and we're going to go overseas, throw Tomahawk missiles, close the strait, make all your gas prices go up, and we can't even get people the water and the help that they need back at home. That pisses me off.
It pisses me off too. It's completely outrageous. I'm right there with you and your energy. I mean, just listen to this. More than 43% of the largest track data centers are in areas of high or extreme water stress. You can't make this stuff up. It's as bad as it could be designed to be that way to hurt you. Like, it's not a mistake.
It's not a mistake.
It's just, it's too much to not be a mistake. They want to lower the standard of living here, make the people into slaves, make the people accept that there's no quality of life, there's no liberty in the U.S. You're just an economic unit. All that matters, the Dow goes up, GDP goes up.
Not my President Trump.
That's right. Not my Trump.
Not my Trump.
You gotta wake up,
I'll drink this water. I'll drink this water till I die. I don't care if my diesel goes up $500 a gallon.
Yep. So indeed,
it's just complete brainwash. But here's the situation now. You know, the broader vision, the broader version is playing out in these dry parts of the country where data centers are competing with huge amounts of water. Then you've got one Microsoft cluster in Arizona that's planned for about 1.83 billion gallons of water a year. Do you know how much that's enough for the amount of people?
61,000.
61,000 people is the equivalency of what they want to do every single year just to run this Microsoft. And so then you got more than 43% of the largest track data centers are in areas with high or extreme stress, like you were talking about.
Wow.
And so this is not only a question of how much electricity these facilities use, but it's also a question of what resources they draw on, where they're being built, and what happens. Now, I'm not sitting here. There's people who are going to make the counter argument here, Rex, right? They're going to be like, well, you use AI every single day. You use all of these systems that we have in place. Why are you complaining? It's not about the infrastructure. It's about location of where it's being built and the fact that we are not coming up with creative ways. These should be like parked super far away from any residential areas. That's the difference.
Everything here is with the god of money in mind and not for the American people. Here's the thing. We talk about it with every sector of the economy that we criticize. We got to live in a world where these huge companies actually have to pay their fair share and it's not passed on to you, the American citizen, because it would be one thing if all these things were being implemented, not even in like a benevolent way, just a benign way, right? In a way designed not to hurt people.
Yeah, and you would think with Meta sitting on that much cash and they only have to pay 50% of the cost to build that infrastructure, well, at least pay more money to have at least the lines go further away from the people so that there's like, if you've got it, like, okay, one of the arguments they're probably gonna be like, oh, well, we need to be close so that way we can connect into these main lines and all these things. No, I want you to build the infrastructure that it takes to have that 100 miles away, maybe 50 miles away, where you're not going to feel that impact.
Right.
And so there's all different solutions. We have the brightest minds in the entire world here in America. And you're telling me we can build alien space technology that doesn't allow you to show up on a radar, but we can't figure out how to get water to these AI data plants without making it American suffer?
Right. Well, let's examine this a little bit further, because keep in mind, Tim, they never actually have to pay even to build these things. They either get a loan off their capital or they get a loan from the government, right? So it's just, oh, we're a oodles, billions and billions, hundreds of billions of dollar company. We can do whatever we want. Money isn't real to us. And if the money isn't real to you, why wouldn't you just go out of your way to make things better for the people and make them like what you're doing? They don't care, and it's beyond not caring. They want to hurt you and your family.
And so, I mean, what communities are giving up? I mean, these projects are usually sold as economic development and jobs and investment and growth and tax base. And, you know, some of that is real, but the full trade-off is rarely presented clearly. And the communities can give up that land. I mean, the communities can give up that land, but they might have – that could have gone for other uses. So you can take the noise – they can take on the visual change and the strain on utilities, but then they're also giving up tax revenue through tax incentive in the packages that are going to look generous and give those to the AI companies.
When are they going to give you a tax dividend to have a kid?
Yep.
You know, when are they actually going to help you out? Oh, we'll give that to you, but only if your family's destroyed, if you're a low-income single mother. You see how all these programs that we get that are designed to benefit us actually hurt us? And in the programs that these companies get, they benefit them to the moon.
Well, here's the best part. I mean, out of the 37 states that offer incentive programs for data centers, Virginia alone gave projects nearly $1 billion in tax savings in one fiscal year. $1 billion. Wow. And not a single drop. We're not getting tax incentives as just the regular person, right? So where is this all headed? That's the real question here. And so, you know, if the current incentives stay in place, it doesn't level off quietly. It's just going to get bigger.
Sure.
And so you're going to see more electricity demand. You're going to see more pressure for utilities around the building of that demand. And then there's also fights over who pays for the transmissions and the substations and the new generations for that power. And then more neighborhoods get pushed closer to these industrial facilities. You get more strain on water in dry regions. You get more pressure on local officials to approve these projects in the name of AI growth competition and all of these different things. And so Data centers currently use about 4% of the U.S.'s electricity, and this could rise sharply over the next few years. One estimate says that a household electricity rates could rise as far as 70% if the system does not change.
Wow.
That's a very big increase. And I am sorry at home if you are somebody who's already struggling to pay your electricity bill, if you are already struggling with the things that we've talked about the housing and the water and all the strains that you are putting on a day-to-day basis. There is a single mom. There is a household that is struggling, that is actively going through this. Now, I am at the end of my deep dive, but I do want to hear from you guys back at home. If you are somebody who lives near a data center, if you are someone who experiences this in life, I want you to call that number after the segment, after we have Gary on. It's going to be 1-877-789-2539. I want to hear from you guys.
Nice. We're going to do that. We're going to do that. We really want to hear from people. If you're in a rural area and they're trying to be sneaky and force one of these things on you, we want you to call in, tell us about it, tell us about the construction, how long it's taking, if it's affecting you and your water, your power, all of it. Because here's the thing. They're trying to make us pay a new grid tax. They're trying to say to use the same grid these AI data centers use. You got to pay for the transfer of that energy. You got to pay for the increased infrastructure. They should be the ones paying for it.
Yep.
It's black and white. That cost shouldn't be passed on to you. That cost should be passed on to them. But they're cost adverse, you see, and they actually know the people in the government. I want to go to this Gunther Eagleman meme tweet now that we're done with the deep dive. And I want to make things clear for you, Tim, because maybe you don't understand. Maybe you don't understand what's going on. I want to go to Gunther Eagleman meme tweet, and we're really going to find out what's going on. That's "Dear Iran, I'm not Obama." Okay, and we can do overhead shot as well. "Dear Iran, I'm not Obama. Dear leader, President Trump."
I mean, this is what AI has come to. You know, you get the AI memes, but then you get the AI to also power your data centers.
Well, look at that. You know that burns the water. You got to pay for the electricity to make that as well. And it's cool. Your dear leader giving you a message. "Dear Ron, I'm not Obama." And then like a boomer sees that.
Is that
like
his Virgin X? Is that his caption? They chose to learn the hard way.
No, it's not. That's Gunther's caption.
Oh my Lord.
I mean, let's go to Gunther Eagleman right now. Let's just take a look at the selection of a few of the tweets.
Oh, well, I mean, I just see the American flag. I see the hat. He's MAGA down through and through, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I read his description.
He's MIGA, okay? He's MIGA. He's Make Israel Great Again.
F-O-F-A. F-A-F-O.
Yeah, it's all violence videos. It's all disturbing. It's all outrage and shock porn. Like, that's what these people traffic in. Breaking. Even CNN's Harry Enten admits Republicans now lead Democrats by 5 points in net favorability this midterm cycle. In 2018, Democrats were up 12. In 2006, they were up 18. TDS plagued Democrats are badly behind where they need to be to flip the Senate. Trump's winning. Oh, you remember what the conversation was about keeping the House? See how that's gone out the window completely? And oftentimes, I think it was someone great. They had this phenomenal quote, and it's like, "Why do you have so many mainstream media subscriptions?" He goes, "Well, I want to see what slips through the cracks." So we see over time the propaganda and the messaging getting weaker and weaker because it has to by necessity.
Well, also, I just want to think about something as well. I was talking about this with a friend the other day. I said, do you know how perfect Trump could have had it at the beginning? He had everybody on his side.
Mandate from heaven.
Including the people in the middle were on his side. He won all those swing states, right? So not only does he have the House, not only does he have the Senate, but he survived an assassination attempt.
Yes.
Okay, you put all of those together. Perfect trifecta. That man could have passed any bill to change society, and it would have had the same level of just like going through the House, passing as we did in 9/11 when we went to war.
This is what we talk about, Tim, about the concept of political capital, and you have to be very, very, very judicious with how you're going to spend that political capital. Trump has spent his political capital on the war, and the reason why you still see people supporting all this is because of the narrative that you just laid out. It really is a hero's journey, Odysseus. Returning home to Ithaca level thing where you have this like mythical champion of the American people who wins all these battles. And it turns out that he's mythical. From Gunther Eagleman, what are the odds Trump drops another epic F-bomb post in the next 24 hour? Responding to Cat Turd saying, "I want meaner Iran tweets today with Trump with more F-bombs." This is our economy. This is that's what the Dow runs off of.
These guys are doing tricks on it.
It's really crazy.
Doing tricks on it.
They're doing backflips, somersalts, a ninth degree back black belt level back shots. Okay. All right, we're having fun. Let's go ahead and get into clip number four, because I want to pay some homage to the real OG, the guy who kind of really, besides Pat Buchanan, started it all, Ron Paul. I want to play clip number four. Ron Paul booed 12 years ago for wanting no war with Iran.
Your rivals here make a passionate case, that all three of them make a passionate case that this is a vital U.S. national security interest. But you disagree.
I disagree because we don't know if they have a weapon. Matter of fact, there's no evidence that they have it. There is no evidence. Israel claims they do not have it, and our government doesn't. I don't want them to get a weapon, but I think what we're doing is encouraging them to have a weapon because they feel threatened. If you look at a map of Iran, we have 45 bases around their country plus our submarines. The Iranians can't possibly attack anybody, and we're worrying about the possibility of one nuclear weapon. Now, just think about the Cold War. The Soviets had 30,000 of them, and we talked to them. The Soviets killed 100 million people and the Chinese, and we worked our way out of it. And if you want to worry about nuclear weapons, worry about the nuclear weapons that were left over from the Soviet Union.
Pause
They're
it.
Still floating around. They don't have them all.
Pause it if you would. And look at these orangutans. Go ahead and pull it back up. Look at these orangutans, like these literal like bonobo monkeys that they have surrounding him.
Is that Romney?
Is that Rick Perry or Romney?
It looks like Romney.
Okay, that's Romney on the right, and God knows who the guy in the middle is. But you see how back then it's the same narrative as it is now, where they're laughing at you if you say, hey, like, you know, actually, you know, we talked to the Soviets when they had 30,000 nuclear warheads. Why can't we do negotiation with them?
Right. So this is at CNN. CNN is still
this
left.
That's Nick Santorum in the middle.
Nick Santorum in the middle.
Okay, so these people who are booing in the crowd would probably be on the left. True.
No. Well, it's a CNN town hall, but it's a Republican debate.
I see.
This is the neocon spirit.
Not my president.
That's right. And you look at Romney, and maybe we can go back to that, giving him the side eye glance, giving him the stare like this guy has three eyes. No, Mitt Romney, you're on the moon. That's where you're so far away from Earth that you're completely on the moon. And everything he said is true.
But you see the brainwashing. They're like doing this genjutsu, and they're like, you're in a trance. And then you look at it, right? And they're making it seem like what he's saying is absolutely insane. And, like, how dare you say these logical, sensical points and positions that you have?
And let's get that photo back up. Let's look at that exchange of the two people. We don't have to play it. You look at Romney giving him the side eye there. One of these figures, Ron Paul, a legendary libertarian, conservative American figure, legendary political candidate. His thoughts and ideologies will have ripple effects for centuries to come, and he'll always be hailed as a great hero. And then you have Mitt Romney, a multiple-time failed presidential candidate, just a random guy from Utah, just completely corporate, completely bought out. He has no soul to speak of, and Ron Paul does have a soul. So when we look at these events 20, 30, 40 years into the future, it's all going to be very, very clear who the villain was and who the hero was. And the hero was always the person calling for peace.
Yeah.
Period.
And this was a long time ago too. And we forget about this. It's like going back in loops, and we just forget about the history. We forget about the history, and we've been talking about this for decades now.
Right.
You know, if you think about it. So at this point, now we just got into the inflection point where we didn't hear the warning signs before.
Yes.
So are we going to listen now? Are we ready to wake up? Is Congress and all of these neocons ready to wake up? Or are we going to get into a worse situation here, Rex?
Well, you know, Owen Schroyer often says that if logic can't be applied equally, then it should be considered to be propaganda. And, you know, if we're going to apply the facts equally, well, you know, they didn't develop a nuclear weapon back then. So are they going to develop one now? Well, maybe, but probability leans towards no. Even no matter how hard you say they're going to have one, they want to kill us all, they're going to have one. It's been talked about for 35 years. And ultimately, there wasn't an immediate justification to enter the war. We played the clip of Rubio many times. Israel does initial attack. We have to join Israel in the initial attack because we're afraid they're going to kill American soldiers. Of course, the goal of the initial attack was to knock out leadership and have regime change. Spoiler alert, that didn't work. Now we got Trump up there with the Easter Bunny, kind of just like Joe Biden. We're going to be right back with Gary Cardone. It's going to be a phenomenal interview. Thank you so much for being here with us. A powerful broadcast. Follow Gray Area Talks on X. Go ahead and do it.
Introducing Ultra DNA Revival, the advanced daily supplement designed to help you feel and perform at your absolute best, starting at the cellular level. Backed by cutting-edge mitochondrial and DNA support science, Ultra DNA Revival delivers noticeable all-day energy without stimulants or crashes, faster recovery and greater endurance, sharper focus and mental clarity, support for healthy blood sugar levels, stronger immune system function, enhanced liver health and natural detoxification, reduces everyday stress and anxiety, protection against oxidative stress and the visible signs of aging. And again, this is a private label of an already best-selling brand that found this. Thousands of customers report feeling the difference in as little as 7 to 14 days. Right now, take advantage of our best pricing ever. VIP members, $34.95. Regular, $59.59. Save over 40% with a VIP membership for $30 a month. Experience the revival your body has been waiting for. Secure your DNA revival today at TheAlexJonesStore.com.